It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see. For I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podketeers, and welcome to episode 27 of the Podketeer Podcast. I'm in my mobile recording studio. Actually, it's my wife's mobile recording studio. I had to take my little Beamer into CarMax and get the seat fixed again. It's got some kind of little electrical problem. Hopefully, they fixed it this time. It was shorting out the fuse. So, as I said, that supposedly is now fixed. Well, I was wondering what you guys thought of the robot voice that I used on the last show to do the segment on going to Disneyland on rainy days. I just purchased that voice. It's a piece of software called Naturally Speaking. And the software is very inexpensive. I don't recall exactly what I paid for it. It might have even been free. But what you pay for is the voices. You get one voice that, you know, it sounds like the voice Dr. Stephen Hawking speaks with. And if you want a voice that sounds good, you have to pay $30 for each one. So I actually have purchased now 6 voices for it. So I spent a little money. I didn't buy them all at once, but I bought, I believe, 2 when I first picked up the software. And then every year I bought a couple more voices. They keep improving the voices. These last 2 I just purchased are under a little offshoot of Naturally Speaking called Acapella. And I was very impressed with the samples that they had on the website. Once I bought the voices and have used them, I'm finding the male voice, which is Ryan, it sounds okay. But the female British voice, which is goes by Rachel on the website, it is quite a bit better than the other voices that I've had. I think if you'll listen to it, it's a little choppy, but not nearly as bad as some of the other ones. That's where it, if you're real careful what you put out there and you test it and go over the grammar, there's some phrases that it doesn't say very well, that it ends up sounding odd. But if you're careful with those, and you can kind of spot which ones they are. And also each voice is a little different in how it pronounces things, which I think is kind of a glitch. Pardon me. You wouldn't think that would be the case. You'd think that whatever the programming involved is would handle each word the same way, but maybe there's different programmers. But for instance, on Podketeer, you can't always spell it the way it's normally spelled. When I spelled Podketeer, the Rachel voice didn't pronounce it correctly. It didn't come out sounding correct. So what I ended up having to do is I ended up having to split the syllables into separate words. And instead of K-E, I had to spell it K-A. And when I did that for Rachel, it came out sounding fine. and Disneyland. If I phrase it as one word, it kind of hurries the last syllable. It doesn't sound right. But if I split it up into two separate words, Disney and land, it pronounces it much better. Now, the Ryan voice, which is the other new one I bought under a cappella, it pronounces podcateer. The pod and the ka come out okay, but tear comes out tear when I spell it T-E-E-R. But if I spell it tear or tear, it pronounces it as facial tears, you know, crying tears. So that's how I had to spell podcateer, with the T-E-E-R spelled T-E-A-R. And when I do that, Ryan pronounces it correctly. So that takes a little playing with it. You can't just cut and paste stuff off of the different websites and use it, or Wikipedia and so forth. You've got to sit there and spend a lot of time editing it so it comes out sounding correct. My original intention when I did these voices was that I could pull the Disneyland press releases off of the news media website, which I have access to, and I could use those on the podcast. But it ended up being a lot more trouble than I thought it was going to be. First of all, Disney does not do very many of these. I was expecting there to be, you know, two or three every week, and it doesn't normally work out that way. Where I've got more information from is the Orange County Register website. But I worry pulling the stuff word for word out off the newspaper, because I'm afraid I'm going to get myself into hot water. But I mean, I've done enough other things that could get me into hot water on the podcast as far as licensing and so forth. So if they want to nail me, they got me. So hopefully they'll be kind. Since I'm not making any money on this podcast, I am just doing it for fun. So anywho, all right, well, I've rattled on long enough. I thought you might have some curiosity as to how the voice is done, where I got it from, and why I'm adding a voice to the podcast that hasn't been there before. I think it sounds good to not just have my voice all the time. That's why I had I asked Rick Boyer to do the theme song at the beginning and to voice the intro, because it just sounds better than having me introduce myself. So I think that sounds much better. I'm very pleased with the theme song, and it wasn't always there. Anybody that's just started listening to the show in the last few episodes, if you go back, I tried quite a few things. I used some music that I got off of the what's called Mevio now. It used to be called the PodSafe Music Network. It's run by Adam Curry, or at least used to be. I believe he's had it go off on its own, or sold it or something, because I don't believe he's running it anymore, but he is at least involved with it. And so some of the music that I had on the old Podcateer podcast came from there. And then I tried some of that monorail music off of one of the Disney albums, that Big Red Collector's album. It was a track I got off of there. And I tried that for a few episodes. And I used to mix the show with Pod Producer when I first started. And then I got Audacity, and I used Audacity for a while, and it was a little spotty in how it works. So I purchased a version of Adobe Audition, and that's the tool if you want to do this kind of stuff. It works really good. far more bells and whistles than Audacity. Of course, Audacity was free, so you can't expect it to be competitive with something like Adobe Audition, because Audition was around $400, I think, what I paid for it. So as I started to say a while back, I'm going to go ahead and drop off of here. I've rattled on again longer than I probably needed to, but I like to talk, otherwise I wouldn't have a podcast. So let's see here. I'm going to play another little tidbit, but not Christmas, because Christmas is past. And I sincerely hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and got all the goodies you wanted and got to see all your loved ones and spent time off work and just enjoyed the heck out of it. I sure did, I'm sure. Although I'm recording this actually before Christmas, so I'm assuming I had a good time. We're having a party on New Year's Eve, or not New Year's Eve, on Christmas Eve. So I'm going to have about 75 of my wife's relatives and a couple of our friends. And I don't know, my sister usually doesn't make it down for stuff like this, but we'll see, maybe she'll make it too. So without further ado, on with the show. Hello, Podcateers. Got a little bit of music. It is Christmas music. It's a song called Run, Run, Rudolph. It was originally done by Chuck Berry, written by Chuck Berry. And it is performed here by Brother Yusuf, a gentleman that plays out at Downtown Disney. And I recorded it a couple days before Christmas when I was out there. And it was such a nice version, I thought I'd put it out here for you. So, hope you enjoy it. And here we go with Brother Yusuf. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am Brother Yusuf. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back in a little while. I'm going to see y'all sign it for you. Thank you.
I'm walking around World of Disney. About fell over dead. I looked at the price of a vinyl jacket with some embroidery on the back. The embroidery is pretty cool, but the jacket's $90. $90. Well, technically, I guess it's $89.95, but close enough for me. Gee, that's outrageous. That same jacket without the Disney logo on it would be maybe $25. So I can't imagine that embroidery is worth $70. That's just, that's a little much. I like it and all, but not that much. I'll wait till it shows up at Company D. All right, just thought you'd be interested in the price of the jacket. So, on with the show.
Christmas comes but once a year.
Ah! Humbug.
However, for one man, that's just once too often. As Walt Disney Pictures and Image Movers Digital present Disney's A Christmas Carol, a multi-sensory thrill ride re-envisioned by Academy Award-winning filmmaker Robert Zemeckis, starring Jim Carrey.
I wish to be left alone.
I decided to make Christmas Carol because it's a story that has never been realized in a movie the way that I think Dickens intended it.
It will be haunted by three spirits.
Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Jim did an amazing job like nothing I've ever seen.
Indeed, Carrey had a blast recreating these characters in this eye-opening journey.
I play Ebenezer Scrooge at five different ages, from about 7 to 65, 70. And I play the three spirits.
Haunt me no longer!
The thrill of capturing the fantastical essence of this classic Dickens tale in a groundbreaking 3D motion picture event really appealed to Carrey.
Christmas Carol is one of the greatest stories of redemption ever written.
Merry Christmas!
About a very miserable character, and he has this extraordinary experience where he's visited by three ghosts.
What do you want with me?
As Scrooge is taken on a magnificent wild adventure filled with images so lifelike, audiences will feel as if they've actually stepped into the movie.
The Ghost of Christmas Past is a flame. It enjoys illuminating your past and flies through space at a million miles an hour. Really looks cool.
I am the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Christmas Present is in the moment. He's kind of like Santa Claus.
Peace on Earth. Goodwill toward men.
As for the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come,
it's not a happy occurrence when he comes around.
The richness and emotional power of the story really inspired Robert Zemeckis, whose numerous hits include Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, and The Polar Express.
I've always been a fan of time travel movies, and Christmas Carol is the greatest time travel story ever written.
This holiday season, one man will be given a second chance to get his life right.
I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance and a hope of escaping my fate.
As Walt Disney Pictures presents Jim Carrey.
It's going to be a wild ride, and to see it in 3D is going to be amazing.
God save you!
Disney's A Christmas Carol, presented in Disney Digital 3D and IMAX 3D.
Humbug!
In Hollywood, I'm Lori Lerner.
That last little piece was a radio commercial for one of the Christmas movies, and now I'm going to have a 1962 bit from the Disney television show on the 1962 Christmas Parade. There's a little interview with Walt at the beginning. And then I'm going to play the Claus 3 movie radio commercial. And then on with something else. So here we go.
Well, the toys are going to start the parade down there by the castle. And it's getting near time, so you better hurry down there and get yourself a good spot on Main Street so you won't miss anything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Walt. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm afraid, John.
Well, by this time, there are several thousand people on both sides of Main Street. But we've reserved a very special place for you so you won't miss a thing. Well, that's my cue. I got to take my place in the parade. I'll see you later.
Thank you.
do what the Main Streeters do.
Magic mixes with comical chaos in The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, as Tim Allen reprises his role of Scott Calvin, a.k.a. Santa.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, I know it's a bit early, but for me, this has become more than just a holiday.
It all started, as the world knows, with the box office sensation The Santa Claus, followed by The Santa Claus 2, The Mrs. Claus, where Santa finally gets around to reading the fine print on his contract.
I've got to get married?
And now there's a climactic close to this Christmas trilogy.
And if you think things have gotten easier for Santa, well, you just don't know Jack.
Jack Frost, that is, played by Martin Short, whose chillin' Santa envy finds him trying to take over the big guy's holiday.
Jack Frost, you are hereby charged with attempting to upstage Santa Claus in a manner that is both willful and malicious.
Did you just accuse me of being skillful and delicious?
Well, he's lovable in a sleazy, cheesy way.
Ooh.
Which, therefore, you know, makes me correct casting.
Director Michael Lembeck.
He doesn't understand why he isn't the kind of icon that's appreciated by everybody in the world.
You herald the season. You're not a holiday.
Jack, you gotta let this go.
You get TV specials and the postage stamps and the army of toy-building yes-men. What do I get? A few runny noses and some dead citrus.
But Frost isn't the only thing on Santa's brain this Christmas.
Mrs. Claus is about to give birth. It is days before she is going to deliver, and it's days before he has to deliver the presents.
And if that weren't enough to make Santa insane, his in-laws have just arrived, played by Alan Arkin and Anne Margaret, who are clueless about the whole North Pole Santa thing.
We think
we're in Canada.
And we think that our son-in-law, Tim Allen, is a toy manufacturer.
And they know Jack about you-know-who, who's trying to ingratiate himself into the family.
Oh, you're so adorable.
And I bet you sing, too.
What would you like to hear?
How about chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
Jack Frost nibbing at your nose.
Oh, what a lyric.
Meantime, Santa gets sabotaged while juggling family and Frost.
I don't want to give away everything, but Jack Frost, he's able to trick Santa into doing something which causes Scott Calvin to go back to where he would have been had he never been Santa Claus and take a look at his life.
This holiday season, the most powerful clause of all...
The escape clause.
The escape clause!
...will knock one Santa out...
Hit me with a shovel!
And let another one slip in.
You tricked me!
You're not Santa anymore. You're just a guy who smells like a cookie.
This is so wrong!
However, Santa has his own bag of tricks.
I'm gonna make everything good again.
As Walt Disney Pictures proudly presents Tim Allen.
Give me a status report.
Your pants are on fire.
Yes, they are.
Martin Short.
I'm Jack Frost.
Okay, chill.
I invented chill.
The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
Ho, ho, ho.
In Hollywood, I'm Lori Lerner.
Now, this next piece I'm going to play for you, it's something that I've been trying to get good enough to play on here for a while. And I've fiddled with a couple of different filters, and it doesn't sound too bad right now. It certainly isn't broadcast quality by any stretch of the imagination. It's a 1940s era shipboard interview. The guy obviously kind of bushwhacked Walt Disney and his family. It's obvious by the look on Walt's face that he really didn't want to do this interview, but couldn't figure out a way to graciously get out of it, so he went ahead and gave the guy an interview. So, and you could pick that up just by the verbal clues that Walt wasn't really thrilled with having, especially having his family interviewed too, which this guy does. So, that is what I'm going to play for you now. And like I say, I apologize for the quality, but it's, you can hear it. You can tell what they're saying. So, on with that.
Let's walk around the deck a little. Oh, I see Walt Disney and his family. I hope we can get Mr. Disney if he's not too busy. Hello, Mr. Disney. Jack Mangan. Oh, how are you? Fine. And your family. Let's meet the whole family. Mrs. Disney.
How are you?
Going to do some shopping.
Well, I don't know. We did quite a bit before we left.
And the youngest Disney?
Sharon.
And?
Diane.
Oh, you're so beautiful.
She's the oldest.
You.
Very pretty. Yes, she's very beautiful. Think she looks like her old man?
Huh? Yes. with a great resemblance to her mother, too. what are you going to do over in England, Miss Dizzy? Especially,
oh, I don't know.
Nothing. Just roam around, have a vacation, and enjoy life. Well, I wonder if we might walk up a little closer to our camera so we can get a close-up shot and talk to you about Disney Incorporated, Disney cartoons, and so forth.
Well, it's quite a racket.
Oh, it really is. It's a fabulous business today. And, you know, I was interested in finding out recently that I was always under the impression that you started with Mickey Mouse, but that's not true.
No, I started over 40 years ago.
Don't look at...
Well, I died a little bit.
You started with Oswald in the movies, didn't you?
Well, that came later. That was about 1927.
And then 28 came Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse, yeah.
And since then, we don't have to worry about a thing.
No, that's 21 years of Mouse. He's an old Mouse for now.
How many characters do you put out now in different series?
Well, we have Donald Duck. I have a dog, Pluto. And the Mouse. And occasionally I make... things, you know, with other odd characters, you know,
and
like now, the Beetle Pigs.
Yeah, and now, of course, you're going into productions where you have part cartoon and part live actors.
Well, that's in England. I'm going to make this picture, Treasure Island.
That should be wonderful.
Yeah.
Will that be with Bobby Driscoll?
Yeah.
The little boy movie star. Oh, he's wonderful. He was so great in that last picture of yours.
In The Window, too. He did a wonderful job in The Window.
Walter, I'd like to ask you, because I'm very naive, and most people are, about the characters, how you get them to animate. Is that a technical thing?
Well, we draw them.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you keep them moving?
By making more drawings.
And you place them, they must have to be right within an eighth of an inch of one another.
Oh, so. Sometimes a 64th of an inch if they're moving slow, you see. If they're moving fast, well, we'll have them as far apart as an inch.
You know, Edgar Bergen's been running all over the ship looking for you. Have you seen him yet?
No, I'd like to see him.
We've been...
Is he sailing?
No, he's down especially to visit with you and Charles Carell of Amos and Andy.
Oh, yeah.
He's walked by here about three
Johnny
times.
Johnny Carell on the boat?
Yeah, he's going over too. Oh, we have a wonderful list today. Oh, great big bunch of people.
Well, I'd like to see him.
Well, I think we're almost running out of time, Walter. I want to thank you for being with us and tell our friends that right now we have to bring Ship's Reporter to a close. And so, friends, we come to the end of Ship's Reporter for today. Ship's Reporter is produced on film by the National Television Guild and directed by Chick Vincent. Until next time, then, this is Jack Mangan and Walt Disney wishing you smooth sailing.
As Walt Disney sat at a bench at an amusement park, watching his daughters play, he noticed how ragged and filthy the small amusement park was. He also observed people's reactions to different rides, and noticed how children's parents had nothing to do. They would be anxious to go home, while their children were still having fun and playing. This is where Walt was conjuring and planning a new type of amusement park, one that would be clean and would have attractions for parents and children together. This was Walt Disney's idea, which eventually turned to be Disneyland. Walt once said, "What this country really needs is an amusement park that families can take their children to. They've gotten so honky-tonk with a lot of questionable characters running around, and they are not too safe. They are not well kept. I want to have a place that's as clean as anything could ever be, and all the people in it are first-class citizens, and treated like guests." Years before Disneyland was constructed, Walt was thinking, generating, and creating everything in his mind. He traveled the United States and visited buildings of America's most prolific inventors and creators, such as Thomas Edison's workshop, the Wright Brothers' bicycle shop, and the home of the dictionary magnate Noah Webster. While visiting these places, he was formulating and dreaming of a Mickey Mouse Park, with a Western Village, Main Street, and more. These ideas would eventually form Disneyland. Walt at Disneyland. On the opening day of Disneyland, Walt stood in his apartment, above the fire station on Main Street, and looked out the window to see the crowds pour through the gates. Sharon Baird, a Mouseketeer, said this, "I was standing next to him at the window, watching the guests come through the gates. When I looked up at him, he had his hands behind his back, a grin from ear to ear, and I could see a lump in his throat and a tear streaming down his cheek. He had realized his dream." Right after Disneyland opened, Walt said, "We're gonna kick ourselves for not buying everything within a radius of 10 miles around here." He could visualize the growth around Disneyland. Walt would often visit Disneyland a few times a week. Although, many times he would visit late at night, when no one was there. Oftentimes he would spend the night in his apartment in the fire station on Main Street. When he came before the park opened, he would make sure the park was clean, and talk with the cast members. Walt always wanted to know everything that was going on in the park. He knew about everything. He knew where water pipes were, how tall buildings were, he knew how the park ticked. One time Walt visited the park, and noticed things were a little sloppy. He found the maintenance engineer of the park, and told him, "I want this place painted." The engineer agreed, and said, "We'll do it over the weekend." "No, I want it finished or painted by morning," ordered Walt. Dozens of painting crews painted through the night, and finished before the park opened. Even though Walt Disney wasn't able to see how his park prospered and grew into the 21st century, his legacy still lives on with us. Throughout Disneyland and throughout the entire world, he will always be there.
Well, Podcateers, that'll just about wrap it up for tonight's show. Hope you enjoyed it. We're running a little late this week. Christmas holiday just had me running myself a little too ragged. Had trouble with the car, a little bit of fraud on my ATM card I had to deal with and go to the bank today. So just kind of hectic. Well, anything too serious. It got taken care of. Bank caught it. Good old Bank of America. So everything's all squared away now. But like I say, it caused me to be a little late putting the show out. But we at least did have a show. So that's more than some of the shows that take this week off. So we didn't do that. So again, I hope you enjoyed the show. And hope you'll join us next week. It'll be less than a whole week away. When we'll be back out here with another fine episode of the Podcateer Podcast. So y'all take care of yourselves, and we'll see you at the park. And you have a magical Disney week.
Hello, Podcateers. I hope you enjoy today's show, and we'll come back next week and see what crazy stuff Mark has cooked up. Until then, have yourself a magical Disney week. This is Carrie Foppin signing off.
Podcateer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse Copyright 1928, The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podcateer.com. The great caricature artwork on the Podcateer website was created by Disneyland artist Catherine Clark. You may email her at portraitsandcaricatures@yahoo.com. Her blog is located at www.myspace.com/Clark_art.
I'd just like to take a moment to again thank my friend Rick Moyer at MoyerMultimedia.com for taking the time to put together the theme song to the Podketeer podcast. If you need any voiceover work, or you need any kind of a theme song or music put together for a presentation or for your company or for a podcast, you look Rick up. He could not be more helpful. His name is Rick Moyer, and the name of his website is MoyerMultimedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
Huh? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company.
That's right.
M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Home.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.